Good morning, everyone. As Don said, thank you for joining us again today in our virtual service. We're all a little bit croaky today because there's so much pollen going on in the air, and it's been very windy. I'm thankful for the songs of reassurance today. We know that when we come into His house, whether it's in this physical house or whether we come into His presence when we're at our houses at home, His presence is there and He is with us. And He has reassured us of that in His word. Also, the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." There's a lot going on out there, but we know that our souls are secure in Jesus' love. And what I'm going to talk about today is also reassuring, I hope. I don't have anything new for you today. As a matter of fact, it's very old. But I hope it's very encouraging. It was for me when the Lord reminded me of these words in this passage of Scripture. And today I'm going to be reading a fairly long passage of Scripture, but instead of you watching me read, you're going to be seeing some beauty that God has created that Audrey has helped put together, and I really appreciate her help. I couldn't have done it by myself, so thank you, Audrey, for that. The setting is Jesus is teaching the disciples and the people on the Sermon on the Mount. And part of that section of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, starting around verse 25, talks about perspective and trust and anxiety. And actually, I'm calling this the cure for anxiety. Do you think there is a cure for anxiety? I do, and I believe that it is the reassurance that we were just talking about. We can be reassured because we know God is faithful to His commitments, which includes the care and feeding of His children. We're told about the faithfulness of God early on in the Scripture. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 says, "As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night." And as we can tell, the earth is still here, so we know we have the assurance of God that these things will continue. Today I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified version of the Bible. Normally I don't do that, but in this case, I think that the Scripture is very well stated in the Amplified version of the Bible, so I'm going to be using that. And you'll be watching the beauty that Audrey has put together for you now. Verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6. "Therefore I tell you, stop being worried or anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body as to what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow seed, nor reap the harvest, nor gather the crops into barns. And yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you by worrying can add 1 hour to the length of his life? And why are you worried about clothes? See how the lilies and the wild flowers of the field grow. They do not labor. They do not spin wool to make clothing. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory and splendor dressed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive and green today, and tomorrow is cut down and thrown as fuel into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" And here Jesus repeats these words again. "Therefore do not worry or be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear? For the pagan Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, but you do not need to worry, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness and his way of doing and being right, the attitude and the character of God, and then all these things will be given to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." This passage of scripture is partially restated in the book of Luke in chapter 12, and it repeats a few of the same verses. I'm going to read a couple of them. "Consider the lilies and the wildflowers, how they grow in the open field. They don't spin, they don't toil, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his glory and splendor dressed himself like one of these. But if this is how God clothes the grass, which is in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? So as for you, do not seek what you will eat, what you will drink, nor be anxious or have an unsettled mind. But strive for and actively seek the kingdom of God, and these things will be given to you as well. So do not be afraid and anxious, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You know, anxiety happens for many reasons. The Israelites had cause to be anxious, for they'd suffered greatly in times past. They might have had some PTSD going on. Maybe you have too. They had sinned against God in the past, greatly at times. Maybe you have too. But believers and seekers of him are assured of his promise. Those things cause us to doubt ourselves, but we have no reason to doubt God. He's never wavered in being God. He's never wavered in providing Christ as our Redeemer. And here in these passages that we just read, he's never wavered in being our provider. Jesus used Solomon, the greatest example of a wise, wealthy king who, being arrayed in his kingly splendor, could not compare to a lowly lily. It is said that there's a particular lily which grew in Nazareth that was stunningly bright purple and white, and that was likely the flower that Jesus referred to in that passage of scripture. But we have a part to play in this dance also, because God said that we need to be seeking his fullness, his righteousness, his kingdom. And in order to be assured of his promises, we must put him first. In other words, if we focus on his business, he will take care of ours. In closing, I want to read to you the lyrics of a song. Our former pastor, Brother Watson, sang this song many, many times, called "The Best of the Trade." And I'm going to read you two verses and two of the choruses. "The Lord gave me beauty for ashes, and for sorrow he gave me joy. I was sad and oppressed. He exchanged it for rest and a peace that this world can't destroy. I traded my sins for salvation. I traded my load for relief. I got peace for my condemnation and the joy of my Lord for my grief. I traded my life that was wasted, a temple to dwell in God made. I got so much more than I had before. I sure got the best of the trade. I was poor and I had nothing worth having. Disappointment had saddened my life. Now I'm rich as can be, since he traded with me abundance of peace for my strife. I traded my sins for salvation. I traded my load for relief. I got peace for my condemnation and the joy of the Lord for my grief. I traded my life that was wasted, a temple to dwell in God made. I got so much more than I had before. I sure got the best of the trade. It's a very one-sided trade. His sufficiency for my insufficiency, his provision for my lack. Let's pray. Jesus, you know that we don't bring much to the table. We don't have anything of value to offer you, but you know what you're getting when you accept us. And we're so very thankful that you traded with us and gave us heaven's best. Help us, Lord, to strengthen our resolve to seek your face with our whole heart, to be like you, and like the psalmist David said, that our soul would seek hard after you, Lord. May your face shine upon us, that others may see your reflection in us. Thank you for encouraging us with these words today. And may we be ever more resolved to put you first, knowing that you have our needs in your hand. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.